Welcome to Blether Together, brought to you by Farmstrong Scotland. I'm your host, Sarah Stephen, and together we'll be travelling across Scotland to chat to farmers and crofters to learn more about them, their businesses, challenges, and the positive steps they take to manage their well-being. Our thanks go to NFU Mutual Charitable Trust for supporting the podcast series and to our founding funders, Movember and the Royal Highland Agricultural Society of Scotland. Cora Cooper hadn't stepped foot on a farm until she met her husband, David. Growing up in Glasgow, she started her career in law, PR and events. Alongside David, she now co-owns and runs a 5,050-acre hill sheep farm with 3,500 herdwicks and Welsh mountain yows. Cora and David are determined to do things differently whilst raising their young family of three without childcare. Cora radiated energy and positivity throughout our chat, and I'm glad to say that as a fellow Glaswegian, her high heels are never far away. Cora, good morning and welcome to Blether Together. It's lovely to have you with us.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, I'm just looking at your bio, and we are recording this quite early in the day, and I'm just thinking, you're spinning a lot of plates. So what does your morning look like so far?
So my morning can start at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock. It depends who the first child is to get up, and they all like to take in turns of being the one that gets up first. So today it was 4:30, the first one was awake. So that is when the day started, which my eldest child is now nearly 9. So I have fully embraced the early mornings. It's not even a thing anymore. It's just habit now to wake up early every day. So yeah, it's always a flying start to the day.
Yeah, by 9 o'clock you think, oh my goodness, where have those 3 hours, 4 hours gone? Because it just goes in a flash.
And then I'm starving again because you think, gosh, I've already been awake for 4 hours.
Well, you look so fresh on it. Can I tell you, you just look fantastic. So it's not obviously doing you any harm.
Oh, thank you. I think it must be the light in the corner of the kitchen.
Going back to that sort of plate spinning analogy, you have to cram in a lot being a farmer, don't you? Or being in that partnership, being in that business, there's a lot to fit into the day.
There is. And my husband and I, we are both not from the area where we now live and farm. So we don't have a support network around us. The business is my husband and I. So we are building a business and building a family. And we feel very strongly that as the people who are in charge of the business needs to suit us. And at the moment, we have three young children and life is hectic. So the business needs to work around our family life because the children will not be young forever and there'll be plenty of time in the years ahead to go full throttle again with work, which we did before we had children. So I think it's really important when you are plate spinning that there's different seasons and you have to adapt your business to suit what season of your life you're in. And at the moment for us, it's the young children phase and all that comes with that. So the children really are the priority and making sure that they have everything that they need and they do all the things that they need to do. And if that means that we have to work a bit later, work a bit earlier, then that's what we do.
So paint a picture of life for Cora and David pre-farming business, you know, and your childhood as well.
I'm not from an agricultural background at all. I grew up very much in a city. I went to school and university in Glasgow. I have a law degree. I was working in PR and events. I had never set foot on a farm before I met David. Apart from going to farm parks as a child, I'd never been on, you know, a proper working farm at all. And then when I met David and came to the farm, I remember the first day going, offering to help, because I saw it as if I help, the work will get done faster and then we can spend some time together. And that's really just been how it's gone ever since. And we made the decision to go into business together when we had our first child because there was no childcare in the village. And my work was probably about an hour's drive away. And my mum, who would have been our childcare, had cancer at the time. So she was going through her chemo and very unwell and hospital. So we made the decision to prioritise family life so that we could work in the business together, our son could be with us, and then when I was needed at the hospital for my mum, I could be there too. I think it was circumstances that forced us into that decision to go into business together, but it has been one of the best decisions we ever made.
You've obviously mentioned the circumstances, which means that it's work for you, but why farming?
So my husband, he always did want to go into farming, and he's very passionate about farming, and he always had a vision for how he wanted sheep farming to be, and he wanted it to be as low input and as simple as possible. So it has always been his dream. And my husband's a very passionate and inspiring man. And then having firsthand experience of our sheep system, I too then thought, this is fantastic. Why would you not want to be involved in this? And I think it's such a wonderful opportunity to get the chance to be outside and be so invested in the land. I think for me, it really has been a wonderful experience and opportunity to go into farming. And also, I get to do it with my children, which, you know, when I was having our children, this was before working from home and online meetings were a thing. So there's a lot more flexibility, I think, now. But then there wasn't that flexibility for remote home working.
How did you find breaking into that community? Was it welcoming?
Our community of the village where we live in Muirkirk has always been incredibly welcoming to me and my husband when he came here as a young man at 17. And I think that the people in our community are fantastic. You couldn't ask for better neighbours or a better village. There still really is that strong sense of community in Muirkirk. So I found that fantastic. I think for me at the start, when I was on maternity leave, it was a big change going from being a very social person in busy places to suddenly being quite isolated and lonely. So I had to find my way of finding my connection to farming. Otherwise, I could have ended up resenting it. So for me, that was being outside in nature and spending the time to get to know the land and the species. And that, for me, formed that connection with agriculture.
You're being very diplomatic, and, you know, there's parallels. Your story, there are parallels with myself. I grew up in Glasgow, centre of Glasgow, happened to marry a farmer, and like yourself, found myself on a farm having never been in one before. And, you know, I'm quite open, but I love the community I'm in. I love the industry. I wouldn't have it any other way. But I found it quite a cliquey industry. I found everybody had grown up together. Everybody knew exactly what happened every time, you know, different seasons of the year. And I just felt bit like a numpty sometimes, not knowing that detail. And although trying to learn, also raising a family meant that you felt you had to be everything to everyone. And I found that a struggle at times, because I don't call myself a farmer's wife. I am married to a farmer and I have my own identity. But you lose that massively when you sometimes marry a farmer and they have been ensconced in that landscape, that environment since birth.
I think for me, I have worked very, very hard to not lose my identity. And my husband isn't from this area originally either. And he's always been incredibly supportive. But fundamentally, I think you can't be everything to everyone at all times. And as long as I can be who I need to be to my children and my husband, I don't actually care what other people think of me and what I'm doing or we're doing. Because I think the comparison's the thief of joy.
Thomas Jefferson said that.
Yes, and I think sometimes that attention that you use thinking on other people, you can't control that. You can only be in charge of yourself and how you react. And I think that's, for me, has been how I've wanted to be, and I've found a way of fitting into our farming business and the farming community as myself. I'll still turn up at things in a dress and high heels because that's how I feel comfortable dressing. So I just think that everyone would be a lot happier if they lived how makes them happy, and rather than trying to please other people, because you will never win. So why try? And ultimately, at the end of the day, David and I are the only people responsible for running our business, paying our bills and what we have. I don't really need to be held accountable to anyone.
that displays an incredible confidence and obviously self-belief as well. And coming back to that business and working with your husband, and, you know, I work alongside my husband as well, and he has a knowledge of what happens in farming that I don't have. You know, there's a side of the business that I run and he runs another side, and now we've found our sort of equilibrium. But I just wondered how challenging you find it, you know, you 24/7, to use that old adage, is that you're working together and you're living together and you're raising a family together. I mean, that must put quite a lot of pressure on that relationship.
To be honest, it absolutely doesn't. We've been together now for 12 years, married for 10, and we still laugh every day. And I think that's because we view each other as equals. And there's no one that I would rather have by my side for any situation than my husband, because we've been through so much together. And I just think that it's such a joy to have that opportunity to spend so much time together. And we really do still enjoy each other's company. And I think a lot of that has been because he allowed me my space to find my niche in our business, but also to learn things myself, because he's a 6'3" man. He is going to physically be able to do things in a different way to me. So rather than him telling me, well, this is how you do it, he leaves me to figure it out myself, and I'll have my own way of working and my own way of doing things because I'm not a 6'3" man. So he's always given me that space to do things and figure things out for myself, but also he appreciates the fact that I'm coming into things with fresh eyes. I'm looking at things not from a farming perspective or background, but from a business perspective. And I think that is really important, that perspective within a business, because ultimately farming is a business and you need to look at it the way you would any business.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting you mentioned, because you mentioned business right at the start. It was in your first answer, you talked about the business. And I think that's how it has to be seen now, isn't it? As a business, to make it work, that sort of enterprising approach, entrepreneurial approach, that you have to see it as a business. It's very important, because at the moment, obviously, with all the pressures on lots of industries and farming, especially at the moment, you have to make it work. It has to work, you know, on paper at the end of the day.
It does. And I think it's also really important. And I would say that that was something that I've probably brought to our business, is for my husband at the start, it was a challenge to go away and to go on holiday. And he thought, I mean, I remember the first time we went on a trip together abroad, he was so nervous on the plane because he was not in the country anymore. Whereas now he loves a holiday, he loves going off on a jolly. But again, just to encourage him to take that time away, because I don't think your view changes once you take a step back. And I think it's really important to take those steps back. Otherwise, you're never getting that benefit of perspective, because you're constantly up close to something.
That links very nicely to the sort of the thrust of the podcast, which is, you know, your well-being mentally, emotionally, physically, and having that time away, as you've mentioned, from the farm is incredibly important. It's just taking that time for perspective, isn't it? And that time for yourself. And how do you manage that?
I manage it quite well, I think, because ultimately it's in our best interests that we look after ourselves, because the buck for everything stops with David and I in regards to the children and the business. So we need to be okay, because if we're not, there's no safety net. So for me, for example, I will always spend time outside just going for a walk without headphones, because I think noticing the small details in nature really does make my heart sing. And you're not paying attention the same way when you're distracted. So I think just going out for a walk without headphones to just notice all these small details. But also, I think in farming, it's really important to notice these small details, to realize I'm doing something good. The landscape that I'm managing is delivering these things for nature. And I don't know if you've ever spent time looking at a starling, but when you spend the time to stop and look at the detail of the markings in a starling, it's beautiful. But you need to take the time to stop to look, or a spider's web, which is on a gatepost on a frosty morning, and the beauty and the detail of this tiny web. I really do think that the small things count. And for me, spending time outside in nature is one of the best things I can do for my mental well-being.
You sound like you're a great team, and you've obviously got a great rhythm and a system to how you work together, but it can't all have been plain sailing, or perhaps it has been.
No, it's always very difficult. It has been very challenging at times, but we're always united in how we deal with things. And I think that that really helps when you have someone who's always in your corner cheering you on. And that's what we are for each other. And it has been very challenging at times. We've built a business and we've built a family, and all the responsibility is on our shoulders. But it's how you choose to view that. And we view it as an opportunity and a challenge. And we always have each other's support. So I think that makes a huge difference when you've got someone in your corner cheering you on.
And I think it's very interesting, isn't it? You talk about that sort of partnership, and, you know, not every person in farming has that person beside them, that balance. A lot of people are isolated. They live very, you know, remotely. They don't have that person to lean upon and depend upon. So, I mean, I suppose, you know, you're not privileged or lucky, that's not the right word, but you just sound very positive about the situation, and it's infectious. I can see in your face that you're just very resolute and you feel very confident in who you are. That's probably not the story for a lot of people out there in farming.
No, but I think I have the hindsight now of I'm older, I know very much my own mind. And I think for me, becoming a mother made a huge difference to my confidence and my belief in myself. Because I think when you become a mother, it completely changes who you are as a person and it changes your views on everything. So I probably wouldn't have been as confident before I had my children. Whereas for me, being a mother did change me. And I also think that I used to feel quite out of my depth. If I went to a farming event, I wouldn't want to speak. I wouldn't want to, in case someone, you know, challenged my knowledge or didn't think that it was my place to do the talking, it should be my husband's. Whereas I think coming to the realization that it's got nothing to do with me what someone thinks, and, you know, who cares? And I think that ultimately in the industry, we should all be supporting each other, and we should all be wanting to see everyone do well and feel welcome and support people, because it is an isolated industry. But I think for me, it's such a joy to not try to be the same as other people and just accept your individuality and what makes you you. And that is that, you know, I will turn up to something in a dress and high heels, and that doesn't mean that's how you'll see me in the sheep pen, but I'm very excited to be out the house without any children and a handbag, so I will dress up for that occasion.
Just try and stop you, it sounds like. I think that it is a very sort of patriarchal industry, and it still is to a big extent. And although it's shifting and changing and it's going in the right direction, and that's great, and there's lots of positive strides there, there are a lot of, you know, women hopefully that are listening to this going, oh, I want a bit of what she's having. What does she take this morning? Because not every female in a partnership, not every partner in a farming partnership feels that same way. You know, a lot of people, they take the back seat.
And I think if that's what you're comfortable doing, that's what you should do. But I think if you're looking for a bit of support, or you're looking to find your crowd, you need to get out there. You need to try and meet people. I'm the vice chair of Women in Agriculture Scotland this year. Come to one of our meetings, come and chat to me, chat to anyone on the committee. I think, you know, just put yourself out there, because at the end of the day, nobody setting out to negatively impact someone at these events. I think that most people will feel a bit of imposter syndrome wherever they go, and fake it till you make it, really.
That's the Glaswegian in you talking.
Yeah.
To focus a little bit on the farming side of things, you've built a very successful business and you've garnered lots of accolades in recent years. Just tell us a little bit about the business and what your sort of raison d'etre is about the way you've built it.
So we have got a 5,050-acre hill sheep farm in Muirkirk, East Ayrshire. 85% of the land is Region 3, so rough hill ground, and I think over 80% of it is in a special protection area and site of special scientific interest. It's a very harsh environment. It's a rough hill, and we are using Herdwick and Welsh mountain ewes, and we have got an entirely pasture-based system. We lamb outside on the hill, unassisted. We graze the hill all year round. We have a mob rotational grazing plan that is adaptive to the weather, to the grass growth, to the mob size, to the paddock size. So we are very much about being as civil simple and as low input as possible. A lot of our farm would be historic dams from when they dug the drainage dams after the war on peatland. So that created massive erosion from water, which then made them very, very dangerous. So we've done, I think, over 2,000 acres of peatland restoration with RSPB and the Cooperation Across Borders for Biodiversity CAB project in 2019 and 2020. So we are all about producing sustainable lamb whilst enhancing habitats. And I think that's really important, that you can be involved in nature recovery while still producing foods. And I think for us, our sheep grazing system is benefiting the health of the land while still delivering towards food security on an island.
What have the toughest challenges been to achieving that?
The main challenge is we're a closed flock. We only buy in tups. So we've built the flock to now be 3,500 ewes. So it's getting the stock that can deliver in that harsh environment, that can survive on the hill and come back with a lamb. So it's been the time in being very, very selective in the characteristics that we want to breed from. And also, because we've borrowed money to buy our land, we then have a large business loan to pay, which again is a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure, but we feel it's categorically for us the right thing to do, because we know that we've improved our land since we bought it, and we continue each year to do more to improve the health of the hill. And hopefully then if any of our children want to come onto the business, then they can take it further than what we can do in our lifetime. But it's all about making everything that we've bought better and leaving everything in a better condition for both livestock farming, but also for nature.
High points so far?
I think for us, winning the Farmers Weekly Sheep Farmer of the Year was a real high point, because we entered it together as a couple, which was something that David really wanted us to do together. Whereas I was a bit concerned of, oh, what if I'm not as knowledgeable on sheep as what you are? And he said, absolutely not. You know, we are a team. We need to do this together. So I think for us, having that recognition for a hill farm in Scotland that's entirely grass fed, and if this is capable on, you know, 85% of Region 3 land, there's so much opportunity. There's so much marginal land in Scotland that can be productive, but also delivering these kind of national goals of climate mitigation, nature recovery, while still producing food. That's really, really important. At no point have we ever destocked. If anything, the land that we bought historically had very little stock on it, and we have been gradually increasing the numbers. But as we've increased the numbers, we've also seen the biodiversity on the land increase. And I think that that's really important, especially on an island, that we never forget that it's not one or the other. There can be a happy medium between both nature recovery and food production.
Being a newbie into the industry, if I can call you that, what have been the biggest surprises, or what are the takeaways for you?
In what sense do you mean? Just,
I suppose, what are, you know, when I met and married a farmer, it just becomes so much part of your identity all day, every day. You live in the land, you are surrounded by your livestock, you're surrounded by your land. It's just, it becomes ingrained in you. I actually look at my husband sometimes and feel a sense, like, a little bit envious of him, because he grew up in that environment and he just was 100%. That's what he wanted to do. And he lives in and breathes it, and he thinks about it all the time. And I don't. So sometimes there's an element of guilt for me, because I don't think farming all the time. I think the diversified business. So there is that balance there. But I suppose, you know, it's just things like family, familial input. Everyone's got a say in what you do. I found that challenging, and it's taken me a long time to find my own voice. And I'm looking at you going, wow, you're just so confident in your own voice already. And, you know, I know you've been doing it for a while, but have there been surprises coming into the industry? Have you been pleasantly surprised? Have you been disappointed at times with how the industry has treated you? It's just, you know, what have been your sort of key takeaways?
I found it a challenge coming in to my husband's family, who were not very welcoming of me at all, because I am not from a farming background, to the point that we are now completely estranged. But I don't see that as a negative, because I do not want those values in my life, and that is not how I want to treat people. And I think that if you're not happy with the situation or the way that people are treating you, you cannot control them, but you can control yourself, and you can remove yourself from the situation for your own mental well-being. And I think that's important to have the confidence to do that. And I think that for me, feeling a bit unsure of my place in the industry has actually encouraged me on to do the things that I've done, because I found my own path of doing them. And I think that when one door closes, another opens. And I think I've found my own way through the industry, doing my own thing. And that's clearly what my place is. I think it's, I don't know how to phrase it.
Thank you for sharing that, Cora. That's obviously a difficult experience to share. But do you think that has made you stronger?
I think it has. But again, my husband and I were always very unified in how we dealt with everything. And I think there's three sides to every story. And it's just, we need to be in the best mental place that we can be in for our business and for our children, because ultimately everything rests on us. So if that's what you need to do to be in a good place for your family, then that sometimes is what you need to do.
I'm sure that was, you know, difficult to take though at the time.
It's frustrating, I think, at times when just because you're not from a farming background that you're automatically written off. And I think that is something that the industry needs to get better at. But also for me, that just encourages me to go on, to find my own way, to make a difference. And yeah, I would say that for me, rather than it negatively impacting me, it just lights a fire within me to go off and do my thing.
So how does the industry tackle that sort of mindset?
Well, I mean, I have to say that I don't think the industry as such has actually been unwelcoming to me at all. I think that Scottish farmers have always been really, really welcoming to me. And I think that the minute that someone realises that you know what you're talking about, you become an ally. And I think, you know, there's a couple who are in their, gosh, they must be in their 80s now in the village, who when David and I first got together and everything was quite difficult with the family, they were fantastic. And they were the ones who, you know, were there for me and to guide and to help and support. And I just think that's how I want my marriage to be. And they're such like a Willie and Ella. They're such a fantastic example of a team.
What does a perfect day off look like for you?
So, I mean, lots of things. Like, we go on family holidays with the kids every year. We go on day trips out with them. David and I also get my parents to babysit, and we will go away for kind of two or three nights for a European city break and do all the things that I love to do in a city that I don't do anymore because I live in a village. So we love to go away somewhere, just us, and do like the art galleries and the cathedrals and the museums, all the things that my children are not interested in whatsoever. So I think that for us is having that balance of, no, this is maybe not where I saw my life and maybe not what I wanted to do, but I still get chances to go off at times and do the things that I like to do. And I think that when you have that balance and you also have something to look forward to, it can counterbalance the times when it is quite hectic and very, very intense. So I think that it's always important to have something to look forward to, whatever that is for you.
And you've talked about being in nature and walking in nature and just taking in all the small things, the detail. You know, is there anything that you do daily apart from a walk that just gives you that boost to your well-being?
Yes. So I do an online Pilates every day, which is for me really, really good, because you just get your laptop, you get your mat. The classes can range from 10 minutes to 45 minutes. So you can pick what suits the amount of time you have in that day. And you're just focusing on the exercises and your breath. So I find it almost like a mini meditation for the day, because you're just so focused on that form. But also, I see it as kind of future-proofing myself for, you know, the hectic life that is hill sheep farming, because my back's not as sore anymore. And for me, I really do love doing that. And it's, am I allowed to say which one it is?
Of course you can. Yes. Yeah.
It's Pilates by Bryony, and it's such a, I'm in the Founders Club for it, and it's such a supportive group of women, and it's women cheering on other women. And I think that is a, such a fantastic thing and what we all need to do more of. So I really do enjoy doing the Pilates, and it's just, it's a bit of calm in a very hectic day, because you don't have to think.
Well, it's a lovely way to sort of round off our chat. You're a breath of fresh air, Cora. It's been lovely talking to you. And I just love the fact that your background has given you such a oxygen for what you do now. And you seem so energetic. And, you know, looking at you now, I can't imagine you in muck boots and leggings. But I can see that you get stuck into everything that you do and you give it 100%. And where are we in the day? Just, you know, early morning. And I know you've still got lots to pack into your day. So thank you very much for taking that time out to speak to us.
Thanks very much for having me. Yeah, hopefully I think we could all just do a bit more of embracing ourselves and what makes us happy. It would make life a lot simpler.
Well said.
We hope you enjoyed today's blether and it has provided some inspiration for your own well-being. One small step can make a big impact. Find something that works for you. To read our latest stories and news, download our resources and tools, or connect with Farmstrong Scotland, visit our website, allthews.farmstrongscotland.org.uk, or follow us on social media.